question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
Welcome back, everyone. We are rolling into the B Block now on this May 3rd broadcast. Today, that's going to be the Chief Travel Leader conversation. Mary and I appreciate you being aboard with us out there across the USA. This portion of the program is sponsored by Colette.
If you love traveling like we do, but you don't necessarily love all the travel planning that goes with it, we say go guided with Colette. Since 1918, they've been seeking out the best restaurants, activities, and all kinds of cultural experiences so you get to delight in your destination without the stress of making all the travel plans.
Right now, you can save up to 50% on your travels with their exclusive Spring Air offer. It delivers you more than just your airline seats, as it includes items like private chauffeur service and in-destination transfers as well. Head to Colette.com to book your travels. Use the special code TAKEOFF50 to get the deal and go discover the people, places, and cultures that make travel fun with them. As always, you'll find a direct link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
All right. Robert mentioned today is Chief Travel Leader Conversation Day here on the show, and tomorrow begins National Travel and Tourism Week across our country. So we've invited show friend Jeff Freeman back to the program. He's the CEO of the U.S. Travel Association, and I can see right now Jeff is holding and ready to go. So let's go to Washington, D.C. and connect with him now.
Jeff, good morning. Nice to reconnect with you on air for our Chief Travel Leader Conversation. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, always enjoy having you here with us. You know, Mary mentioned tomorrow begins National Travel and Tourism Week across the nation. We're going to get to that with you today, I promise. But I do want to start off on another topic. This week marked the 100th day of President Trump's return to office. As Elon Musk said during the cabinet meeting on Wednesday, and I quote, "A tremendous amount has been accomplished in the first 100 days, more than has been accomplished in any previous administration ever, period." That's him speaking. Now, most of the folks in the national media, they won't report on the good things happening. There's a faction of our country who will never like or support President Trump, regardless of what he accomplishes. But he did run on an America First agenda. He won, and he's enacting it. So change doesn't happen easily. It takes time. When he says our country has been ripped off for years by others, it's true. Certainly, we know there's a ripple effect, and tourism to America is down currently. We're currently going through this rebalancing period that's creating challenges. I've always felt it would be a seesaw year, and we're seeing that in our own business, I can report. But, you know, I'm confident a year from now, we're all going to be in a good place and seeing the results of fixing, you know, some of the long-standing problems in our country. So as you work with folks there in Washington, D.C., or engage with people in travel across America, what are you hearing that's positive as we move along this year and maybe even into next?
Yeah, I think here's what should give you confidence, and I'll focus on two things. One is coming out of the pandemic, the value that people place on travel is just greater than it was going into the pandemic, and we're seeing that as something that withstands the test of time. People value experiences, memories, more than they do goods. That wasn't always the case, but you see it with live events, you see it with the Taylor Swift effect, you see it with what people are spending to go to sporting events and major music events. People want memories, and that's a strength for travel for many years to come. We're excited about that. I think that will make the industry more resilient, especially as we head into more difficult economic times. That resilience is needed. As I heard one person say, you know, when you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it was in the past, travel was dispensable, wasn't something you needed. It has moved in the right direction on that hierarchy of needs, and therefore I think when times are tough, people will sacrifice other things and put travel more at the top of their list. So that's one really good thing we've got going for us, and that isn't just in the United States, it's around the world. The second thing I think we've got going for us is this administration has acknowledged the antiquated nature of our air travel system in a way that no administration before them has, and we're grateful for that. They're really leaning into the need to build a modern-day system with modern-day technology, the right type of air traffic control. Secretary Duffy at the Department of Transportation in particular has been a leading advocate here, a strong proponent for making the investments we need to make. We value the partnership we have with Secretary Duffy. It is obviously unfortunate that what really triggered this was an awful and tragic event outside Washington, D.C. with the crash earlier this year. Mm-hmm. It's also fair to say that it would be terribly unfair and a missed opportunity to not seize on that moment and do what needs to be done to build a better air traffic control system, and we're thrilled that the administration is taking the lead in doing that.
And do you feel the administration is working concretely on that in terms of coming up with strategies? They did do a big recruitment strategy, the FAA did.
Yeah, the air traffic control, he's taking that on.
Hire more people, but the training certainly, you know, will take some time.
Yeah, no, there. I heard Secretary Duffy's comments yesterday, and he's been vocal about the need to bring in new air traffic controllers, mm-hmm. offering bonuses now for people that want to be air traffic controllers, mm-hmm. acknowledging it's going to take several years to get the numbers where they need to go. We get it. We get that these things take time. We get that we dug a deep hole. Unfortunately, the last Secretary of Transportation spent more time focused on, I think, things that sounded good, finding mm-hmm. airlines, creating new fees, doing things that were very populist, but didn't get to the root of the problems, didn't solve what really ails our air traffic control system. Secretary Duffy is taking the, courageously here, because it takes time, taking the risks, seizing the moment to go build something new. That's a big endeavor, and we understand that.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, let's move on to something that passed recently in the House, the Fee Transparency in Travel, the Hotel Fee Transparency Act. We've talked about this a lot on the show. This affects travelers directly. Within that bill, they also passed the American Museum Tourism Act, which is going to direct the National Travel and Tourism Office to promote travel to America's music-related cities and sports attractions, and we have quite a few coming up soon. Let's hope the Senate approves it and it gets to the president's desk for signature soon. Talk about what the fee transparency in travel is going to mean for online booking companies and travelers.
Yeah, whether it's for hotels or online booking companies, what it means is more transparency, more upfront disclosure as to what the actual rate is when you're booking a room or some other type of travel experience. Now, the truth is, the major companies in the hotel space and in the online travel space, they've been doing this for several years. They recognized where this was going, consumer angst about the issue, a desire to see upfront what the total rate was. I think there were some outliers in the industry who were more aggressive in trying to, some might say, you know, trick the consumer. And I think it was really the biggest hotel companies, the biggest OTAs that led the way in being a consumer champion here and saying, let's have a level playing field in what is disclosed and how it's disclosed. What I love about this is because we have now clarity, because we have or will have a law here, we get the lawyers out of this. You know, we get those who wanted to turn this into something where they're constantly suing hotel companies and others. Pretending to be promoting the interest of the consumer. We get that out of the way here. We've got a level playing field when this bill gets done, and I think it will. And that's good. That's good for all the consumers, and it's good for the travel companies as well.
All right, so listen, Real ID was passed by Congress 20 years ago when George W. Bush was president. We've talked about it on this show with you. I know your predecessor, Roger Dow. How something that's rather straightforward has taken 20 years to enact is beyond me. But Wednesday, May 7th, this Wednesday, Real ID, it's a reality for all. There is an apparent movement by some to try to avoid it. But in short, this is simply a federal accepted form of ID. Most commonly, it's going to be a driver's license that meets specific security standards, and it's going to be required to fly and enter federal buildings. So now that Wednesday is almost here, Jeff, any thoughts on Real ID?
You know, I'm of two minds on this issue. The one side, which I think is very consistent with what you just said, is it's been 20 years. People have had ample opportunity to go get a qualifying driver's license. And at some point, you become the boy who cried wolf if you're out there asking for delay on Real ID. So I completely understand the need to have full implementation. On the other hand, we still have too few Americans that have a Real ID. I think it's only about 50% of Americans that have Real ID. Now, it's a larger chunk of travelers that have a Real ID. But still, if we have a lot of people going into TSA lines who are unprepared, it's not just going to affect them. It's going to affect every traveler in line behind them, right? It's going to slow the entire process. So I do hope, and we are in discussions with the Department of Homeland Security, that as we implement this, there is some flexibility in early implementation to give people kind of a one strike to go get the ID for their next trip. There are ways to do this that are not as cut and dry that I think can help make sure that the travel process continues to be as efficient as possible. So again, I'm of two minds. I completely understand why we need full implementation and people have had plenty of time. At the same time, we can't ignore the fact that 50% of Americans are unprepared, and it would have very detrimental effects on travel and the economy if we went cold turkey to full implementation overnight.
If we ever wanted to know what's wrong with government, or maybe why DOGE or whatever is needed out there, 20 years to get something going, I mean, it says it all. It's a head-scratcher. But, Jeff, listen, we're coming up on a hard break, since we have a few more things we want to discuss with you. We're going to hold you over for the C-Block next, so please stay right where you are. We'll continue when we return. Folks, after this bottom-of-the-hour break, our Chief Travel Leader conversation with U.S. Travel Association CEO Jeff Freeman continues. The NCF is coming up in about 30 minutes. Listener emails will also answer today. We'll be right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back. And you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com. To connect with the program anytime, visit us online at rmworldtravel.com.
Sometimes we all need a vacation, a celebration to bring us together now. America's number one travel radio show.
Welcome back to your RM World Travel Connection.
Thank you, Craig. We do indeed welcome all of you back, everyone. Today's Chief Travel Leader conversation continues for this C-Block, and we're sponsored by Hilton Grand Vacations.
And here's another way to go enjoy yourself when you travel, because as part of the growing Hilton portfolio of brands, Hilton Grand Vacations provides premier travel experiences. You're going to find over 200 resorts out there ready for you, including Orlando, where we're going to be in a few weeks for another big Let's Go America tour and live remote. They provide spacious, upscale accommodations with home-like features and resort-style amenities.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Folks, wherever travel takes you, find more information, show specials at HiltonGrandVacations.com or connect through RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors. All right, Mary, since we've asked him to stay on, let's get back to U.S. Travel Association CEO Jeff Freeman.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for staying with us. So when I introduced you last segment, I did share one of the reasons we invited you to join us today is because tomorrow begins National Travel and Tourism Week across America. And I think many people who aren't as connected to the industry as we all are, they may think of travel, it may mean a vacation or a business trip, but it really is such an important fuel for our economy and economies around the world. So talk with us about some things that you and the team are doing for National Travel and Tourism Week, and kind of give us status of the industry and your opinions on it right now.
Yeah, Mary, it's so timely. And I was speaking with a reporter from CNBC earlier, and we were talking about travel to the United States. And he said, well, tell me about these tourists. And I had to explain to him, it's not all tourists. You know, 30% of the people that go to the Consumer Electronics Show are international visitors. These are people coming to look at U.S. products, go home, tell people about those products. It happens all the time with trade shows and other business opportunities. Travel really is something that supports all aspects of our economy, and it's much more serious than just a good vacation now and then. That's the message we try to get across during National Travel and Tourism Week, something that empowers our destinations around the country, the various companies that are in the industry, to really highlight the economic impact, the social impact, the community impact of what travel is all about. So we're thrilled to be able to arm our partners around the industry with the tools they need to highlight travel, and they'll be doing that over the next week. We're thrilled to have this opportunity every May. We're excited to see the industry come together and talk about what's happening in the industry today. And I think when we look at the industry today, to your question, there are a lot of good things happening, right? As I said in our first segment, the demand to travel, the desire to travel is still there. On the other hand, there's no doubt that we are confronting some headwinds right now that we have not seen since the pandemic. We're seeing Americans tighten their belts a little bit. There's more uncertainty that's out there. You have seen that recently as some of the airlines have pulled their guidance. They are not sure what the rest of the year is going to look like. We've seen a modest dip in the number of people going through TSA each day, which is a sign that people are pulling back. Where we're really feeling the pinch right now, though, is with foreign travelers coming into the country. We've all heard the talk about Canada, but it's bigger than Canada. Last month, we were down 17% in Western Europe. We were down 10% in Latin America. We were down in Asia, which is hard to do, given that we've been down so much coming out of the pandemic with Asia. But we were down in all these markets. In Canada, we were down about 26% by car, about 10% by air. So there is concern around travel to the United States. These travelers are incredibly important. The overseas travelers spend 8 times more than the average American spends when they travel. So they're really critical to our economy. And when you dig in, why is it that these travelers aren't coming? There are a variety of reasons, right? We've got the strong dollar. Other countries might have a weak currency. The Easter holiday was in April this year, unlike March of last year, which affects travel a couple points. But the one thing that we can't deny is there is increasing coverage overseas that is creating a degree of concern about travel. There's a sense that if I come to the United States, the risk of being detained, of having my devices searched, of maybe even being deported back to my country, that risk is rising. And as crazy as that sounds to me, and I'm sure many of your listeners, you can't argue with perception. If that's what people perceive.
Yeah, it's a messaging issue, no question.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but then we have a perception problem, and we just need to make sure that we address that. You know, I've said in other areas that we all understand the importance of fair trade. We all embrace the need for a secure border. We also have to have the third leg of the stool, which is a welcome mat for our legal visitors with clear explanation of our policies, a desire to see them come. All of these three things can happen. We just need to make sure they're happening simultaneously.
Well, and I think that we will, like I said earlier, I mean, you know, change takes time, and as things are being enacted, I think that we will see that. And certainly because, listen, at the end of the day, when you think about what travel means, right, to America, folks may be wondering out there. I mean, it's almost about a $3 trillion economic footprint. I think 1 in 10 or 1 in 11 jobs depend on travel in this country.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal when you think about it out there. But, you know, one thing we know for sure coming next year, it's America's 250th, right? We're going to have a lot of celebrations going on and so forth. We've got the World Cup coming. So travel to America is going to come back, and it's going to grow. We're just going to have to see, you know, we're on this period right now where we're rebalancing, as I said. So it's going to be what it's going to be. Jeff, you know, I'm looking at the clock. We only have about 20 seconds or so left with you, so it would be unfair to ask you another question. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to thank you very much for joining us on this Saturday morning. Always time well spent when we connect with you. And our best to you, to the U.S. Travel Association team, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend, all right?
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you guys do to promote travel. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff, for all your advocacy in the industry.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Mary. Well, listen, good conversation with Jeff today.
Always good.
When we're down there in D.C. in June, we need to try to connect in person with him. Always appreciate his candor and good information, as always.
Yes. All right. Well, we're headed into another sponsor's break in 10 minutes. Robert and I are going to take you to Barbados. But up next, Rudy's going to delve into staying healthy across time zones. The show returns in 3 minutes.
The world of travel never stops, and you can always find us 24/7 at rmworldtravel.com. Stay tuned. We're back after these messages.